Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'd like to welcome each and all of you to today's worship service and pray God's blessing upon us as we worship in true and in the spirit. This is the second Sunday of Advent, and it's always a joy when we can gather to celebrate the arrival of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preparing for Christmas. How about we take this time to just turn to the person next to you and greet them in Christian love, especially by saying, Jesus loves you, so do I. Amen. 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 Jean, do we have the photo from the tree? Let's take a look. That was a wonderful job done. I don't know those of you who came through the main door. You look at the tree. We want to, I know it's difficult, but look at the tree. Yeah, that's how bad it was. We want to thank our neighbors here, the lawyer's office there, and ourselves with our trustees. I guess they met and they talk about how the cost is going to be shared. But I thought it was a good thing for us. Everything, the only thing that lasts forever in this world, according to Scripture, is the Word of God. So, after 400 years, I wish I could live up to one. So this guy lived for a long time, long, long time. So we celebrate his being here. It beautified our yard, but it was becoming more of a hazard. So they had to go. Okay. That's what we don't have on our announcement this morning. So thank you, those of you. I know Fred and others were here. The trustee person was here very earlier than the group that did the work. And it was really cool that morning. Thank you, Fred, for all the photos that you sent us. Yes, August. Yeah. Thank you for lifting that.
So we're just looking for somebody to sign up for the 30th. Okay, awesome.
Okay, thank you. Because I looked on the list this morning, I didn't see any sign up. I was kind of wondering, there would be no snack this morning. That would bring some of us here, so you guys need to know that. We come looking forward to the snack, so if you would please. Yeah. That's what United Methodists do, right? It keeps our spirit up.
Okay, can I just clarify? We need somebody for the 23rd and for the 30th. There's somebody next week.
Okay.
You'll do the 30th? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Jean, I was going to mention that too. Because it's a concern when you see all these kids coming and looking on the table and nothing there, it's like, it's not, I know, I said myself too, I come looking forward to it and yes. Sorry? Yeah. Okay. All right.
As long as we're making announcements, let me just talk about the potluck on the 30th. There's 5 weeks, 5 Sundays in the month of December. And we have normally, on the months with 5 Sundays, had kind of a all-church potluck. So after church on the 30th, bring your favorite dish to share, and we're going to go down after service and have lunch together.
Thank you. All right. Okay. Thank you for those clarifications. We will now. Yes. choir program next Sunday.
And the children the week after that.
Thank you. They are in the announcement, but sometimes we just need to be reminded. All right. With that, how about we begin to prepare our hearts and minds for worship? We will invite Ed, the Gergenberger family, to come and light our candle. If you haven't signed up to light a candle, please do that. We need two more.
And God said, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. A voice of one calling. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Will you please join us in the unison prayer?
As we light this candle of preparation and peace, let it remind us to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ's child. Father, guide us in the confession of our sins. We know that in the greatness of your love, you have promised to forgive us. Cleanse us as we prepare our lives for the coming again of our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Please join us in singing hymn 206, I Want to Walk with the Christ Child, just verse 1 and 2.
Oh,
Keep you on your feet for a while. Go ahead. Sorry. Oh.
By your mercy, O God, show us the way to bring Christ's light to someone that has not come to know him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So we'll remain standing. I just wanted to let you know that we're going to be remain standing for the call to worship. The day foretold is coming.
The Lord's sight will see more clearly.
The one foretold is coming.
Whose cry will pierce the deepest gloom.
The day is at hand, word, listen.
The Savior draws near, word, listen. Amen.
You're going to stand for a while. People look to the east.
The word the Lord is.
Be seated, please. Thank you for holding on. Our litany this morning, again, is O Word, Listen. O Word, Listen. Do not sleep. Arise and turn your eyes to the east. Sing new songs as at harvest time. For the Lord of life has remembered them. The lamentations have become celebrations. At the sound of their joyful singing, the mountains are leveled. At the sound of their clapping, the crooked is made straight. A voice is heard crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, O Word, listen. Do not sleep. The reign of God is at hand." Amen. Do we have children here this morning? All right, good morning. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Okay. And I say good morning again.
Good morning.
Good. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Good. Well, I'm glad to see you all here this morning. We'll see what Jean has for us, and we will talk about it a little bit, okay? Let's do that.
Now it's time for a Bible story. There once lived a lady named Elizabeth. Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron and was the wife of Zechariah. Both of them were great in the eyes of God, obeying all his commands. But sadly, they didn't have any children, as Elizabeth was unable to give birth. They had tried to have children for many years and were now both very old.
What did he say?
But still, they never stopped praying for God to bless them with a child. Zechariah spent his days serving God as a priest in the temple, and it was his job to burn incense. When it was time for the incense to be burnt, lots of people would come and pray outside the temple. And it was on one of those same days that an angel of the Lord named Gabriel appeared to Zechariah. When Zechariah saw the angel, he was incredibly frightened. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth is to give birth to a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and he will bring many people to the Lord their God. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit before he is born, and will go before the Lord, preparing people for his arrival." But Zechariah struggled to believe these words. "How can I be sure this is true? Elizabeth and I are both very old." The angel said to him, "I stand in the presence of God, and have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now, because you didn't believe me, you will not be able to speak until the day your son is born." Meanwhile, the people were still outside waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he was taking so long.
"Hurry up, Zechariah."
When he came out, Zechariah couldn't speak, and the people were shocked.
Oh!
Zechariah went home, and sure enough, Elizabeth became pregnant. Elizabeth was so full of joy. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "He has shown me great love and taken my shame away." Months went by and the time came for their child to be born. And Zechariah and Elizabeth's neighbors and family all came to celebrate in their joy. When the boy was 8 days old, it was time for him to be named. And all of their family said that the boy must be named Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, "No, he must be called John." Their family were shocked by this. There had never been a John in their family before, and it wasn't the usual thing to do. They asked Zechariah what he decided the boy should be named, and he motioned for a tablet to write on. To everyone's surprise, Zechariah wrote, "His name is John." Suddenly, Zechariah could speak again, and he ran through the crowds, praising God.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about what you heard and what you saw. Anyone remember any of the story? The story was about who? Zechariah, the man called Zechariah. And who?
And John.
And John. So who was Zechariah's son? His name was who? Zechariah's son name was who? John. Zechariah was the father of John. As you grow up, you're going to be hearing a lot about somebody called John the Baptist. As long as you go to church, you will be hearing about one guy called John the Baptist. John the Baptist, mom was Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was an old lady who gave birth to John when she was really very, very old. And so God spoke to Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest. As John's dad, he was a priest in the temple, serving just how we come and we light the candles and all of the different things. He was burning incense in the church. And the angel Gabriel, have you heard of angel Gabriel before? Oh, angel Gabriel is one of God's angels, the archangel, the big angel of God, that God will always send on a big mission. God wants to do something big, God will always send, as far as I know, he will always send the angels to come, especially Gabriel will be the one. He makes all the big announcements about what God is about to do in the world. So this angel comes to Elizabeth, even though she was old, and says to her, "You want to be pregnant and give birth to a child." And Elizabeth is saying, "Whoa, telling Zechariah that your wife is going to be pregnant and give birth to a child." But because Elizabeth was old, Zechariah said, "What? What are you talking about? She's old. She can give birth to a child now." He said, "So you're not believing? You're not going to speak until the child is born." You see, sometimes we need to just trust God. When God says something, we need to just trust God and know that God is able to do anything. Is there anything you know of that God is not able to do? Do you know of anything that God is not able to do? Or do you know of things that God have done? Do you know of things that God have done? Okay. God what?
God created the earth.
God created the earth. Yeah, what? What?
And God put Adam and Eve first on the earth.
There you go. And God put Adam and Eve on the garden. Okay.
God born us.
God born us. That's right. We are here because God made us. So you see, God can do anything God wants to do. There's nothing that God cannot do. So what that means for us, if we need to trust God, even little kids can trust God. You can trust God when you go to school that you're going to be safe. You can trust God and know that mom and dad will always have food on the table, right? Yes. can trust God that it's going to be all right. That the Christmas is going to be all right, right? Santa is going to bring you something. Trust God, and God will do it for you. Okay? Let us pray. Thank you, dear God, for being a God who is able, who can do anything. Things that we don't even imagine possible, you can do. And so we just want to entrust you. We want to put ourselves and all of these children into your care, that you will take care of them as they grow up to become men and women in your service and in the service of their community and the world. We pray that you will guard and protect them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for coming.
Good morning. Today's theme of our sermon and our service is all about signs and preparations of things to come. And the song that we actually put together, two songs today, is about waiting, is about expectation, is about being aware of what's around us and the people that are around us. And during this time of expectation and looking forward to, just a little reminder to reach out to those next to us, our brothers and sisters who maybe are not as fortunate as we are, and share the news of the coming Christ child.
When peace
shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world send back the song that now the angels sing. Oh, for peace, child, God's stupendous sign, down to earth, child, star of stars that shine. This year, let the day arrive when Christmas comes to everyone, everyone alive.
Scripture this morning is Malachi 3, 1 through 4. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be accepted to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh,
Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. We continue with our worship service this morning as we okay. I have my backup, so it's not. All right, there you go. I have my backup here, though. So I don't know about you, but I'm one of those persons who does not really have real confidence in technology, because every time when I need it the most is when they start acting up. So it has given me the reason to always have a backup. So this morning I want to continue with the reading prophecy from Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament in the in our Bible. And there is a prophecy there that continues with this one. So Luke 1:57 through 66 reads, when it was time for Elizabeth to have a baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord has shown her great mercy, and they share her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. That was the custom, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, very unusual of a Jewish woman. No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relative who has that name." Then they made signs to his father, this is the child's father, to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, Zechariah's mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. This is the word of God for the people of God. This being the season of expecting a child born of the virgin, I would want us to affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. If you have that, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. I want to continue with our topic, the signs of Emmanuel. meet the forerunner. God has so much sense of humor. Sometimes he makes people to wonder, what is he doing? Is he actually out of his mind? Yeah, and that's who God is. God has so much fun. And that's why Christians should always have that joy, especially when it comes to this season of year. Because this season is all about joy. It's all about hope. It's all about peace. It's all about love. That's what we celebrate when we think about Christmas. I don't know about you, but that's what Christmas brings to my mind. That's what Advent, the season of Advent, brings to my mind. And so God, with his sense of humor, he's teasing one of his servants called Zechariah. Like you heard his story from even the kids' time, you heard that Elizabeth was old, scientifically, maybe medically, which of course I don't claim to have any knowledge of those, but I can speak from a biblical perspective that with God, nothing is impossible. And so God is demonstrating one of his powers, his sovereignty over creation, by just teasing Zechariah and saying to him, look, your wife is, I know she's scientifically, medically, whatever declared. No one would imagine this will happen, but it's going to happen. And Zechariah said, you must be kidding. What are you talking about? So you don't take me seriously? Even though you burn incense for me day and night in this sanctuary, you don't take me seriously, right? All right. But I'm going to give you a sign first. From this particular moment, you're not going to speak. You're not going to tell anyone the discussion you and I have had until it comes to pass. You see how God does things sometimes? And of course, God in his situation as the sovereign Lord, in his power, is able to do that. How is this all coming about? Why all of this? Well, you can't have a fuller understanding of what's going on until you can go back and take a step back and see where this whole thing started from. This whole thing started from, according to Malachi, it started with, again, our human conditions, the tendency of us, human beings, and I'm not saying anybody here, but I'm just talking about myself, including people who were involved in that situation. Sometimes when life is so smooth and so nice and everything is going well, it's when people become, it's when God actually takes the back seat, right? It's when God actually takes the back seat because everything is fine. What do I need to have God? God, let God wait here. Let me have fun. And that's what it was in the life of Israel. A prophet on the continuous basis. Israel, last Sunday we talked about Isaiah giving prophecy to Ahab, and the nation is in total, it's in shambles. Now God have heard their prayers. They are now doing well. The country is really booming, and I'm sure the economy is booming too, which is something that we always look at. There was a group of one of the churches that I pastored. There were a group of elderly guys who, the only thing they talk about was the stock market. I mean, they would bring There were three of them. They will always bring their newspaper. The only part of that newspaper they look at is the stock market. So maybe for these people, they you know, and it was during the Obama time, so it wasn't really good at the time. So, but this time around, there's now peace. There is now hope. There is now, life is now normal in the life of the Israelites. But guess what was happening? If you want to hear the full story, read the book of Micah and Malachi. You will see the full story. God began to take the backseat. They began to put God in the backseat, taking God out of their life. And they started saying to each other, why do we even need God at this point? I mean, everything is fine. Why do we need God? But probably they might not have said the exact words, but their actions. These people, doing when life was really tough on them, they were the most holy people. They were the most closer people to God, and everybody was shouting, and I can speak to that. There seems to be, as I grow up, actually, in my understanding of my faith and my understanding of my relationship with God, I usually catch myself almost doing the same thing. But things are really going well with me. Sometimes I don't really think about God. I always probably take the credit and say, oh yeah, I think I'm doing well. When I start working, the first thing that comes to my mind is the other things that I need to do. So that even giving to church, it's not going to be the first thing, like some of you, you got it as the first thing on your list, so that maybe when you get your salary, the first thing you think about is, oh, I'm going to give my tithe to the church. It's not me. And this was the situation with the Israelites. Life is now okay. Life is now fine. Things are fine. Peace, joy, love. Everybody is okay. And so giving to the church became a problem. Normally, they know that the scripture talks about, the Leviticus law talks about what kind of animals to bring to God. Guess what these people were doing? Their farms were prospering. They were producing very well. Cattles were all just fine. But when it came to giving to God, what they were doing was they would go and look for the blind animals and the lean animals and those ones that have all kinds of blemishes were the ones they were taking to the temple for sacrifice. And God looked at them and said, what is going on? So I'm of no importance now to you. God said, okay, that's fine. Go ahead. Keep everything. Don't even bring anything. Everything belongs to you. You are in charge. And so Malachi came on the scene as the prophet at the time. And started to remind these people and started telling them, guess how far you've gone? How far you've gone from God? And Malachi is trying to help them to understand that you don't just need God. God is not an EMT agent. So that when you have emergency, you call on God. That's not who God is. That's not what God is about. So that when the alarm goes, where's God? I said, do you understand what you are doing? And then they in turn started complaining against God. They started complaining not to God, but they started complaining against God that they were not having enough in order to be able to give to God. And so God is saying, I'm going to raise someone who is going to help bring my people back to me. And this is when the whole idea, and Malachi's name, in fact, means my messenger. And this messenger was to be the one to give the message of being refined, that the nation needed to be refined, that the Christian, the believers at the time needed to be refined, that their life needed to get back on course. There's a story about a lady who went to the jewelry shop and asked the jeweler and said, you make so much beautiful jewelries. How do you do it? How do you determine to make these wonderful shining jewelries? And the guy looked at her and said, you want to know how I determine if a jewelry is good, is ready to be sold? Say, yeah, I just need to know how you do it, how you determine that. He said, it's simple. The way I determine that is when I see myself in it. When I see myself in the jewelry that I made, then I know the jewelry is good. And so the point here is that Malachi is now giving a message that these people needed to look at themselves and see, in fact, whether their complaint against God was real. Were they looking at themselves and seeing what was happening? Were they being honest to themselves? And God, if you were to read continuously into Malachi, he would say, continue to bring your complaints. Continue to complain about not having enough, not having that, not having this. And not looking at yourselves. But you need to look at yourself in the complaint. Who's doing what? Who is responsible for what? It was when John, the whole situation of John came in, that this person was going to come, and this person was going to call people back into righteous giving. Righteous giving. How many of us can claim that we really gave righteously to God? But there's one person who can say that. It is this person that has been prophesied both in Malachi and by John. When John came on the scene and was born and was able to launch his ministry in Judea, what was happening was John kind of saw himself in the picture. And because he was in that picture, like this jewelry that this man is functioning, John saw himself, and he had to distinguish himself from the people so that his life was totally different from the life that the people were living. Do you know how John lived his life? Well, John didn't live a life of luxury. John lived in the woods. He lived in the deserts. He lived in the dry land. He lived on wild locusts, wild honey. What that was saying to these people was, while it is true that you cherish all that you have and you no longer your animals, your cattle, and you no longer have room for God in your heart, God is still able to sustain us even without those things. Sometimes we get so much caught up in things. We hang our life on materials, thinking that our life without materials, our life would not be of any substance. But John lived. Now we're talking about John today. We're not talking about a millionaire. We're talking about the guy who wore animal skin. We're talking about a guy who did not wear Even this pair of shoes that I'm wearing, but you wore what? Maybe a piece of stick with strap over it, sandals, walking in the desert day and night. We're talking about John today as an important person, not because of what he had, but because of what was within him. It was the sense of commitment, the sense of knowing that without God, he was nothing. And he was calling. His message was, someone is coming. And this person that is coming is going to help you to return to your original state. This person is going to be called Emmanuel. Of course, John remained alive and Jesus was born. And John committed himself to the life of calling his fellow men. He was one of those pastors, those prophets, the New Testament prophets, whose life was totally within the message that he preached. He didn't preach poverty, but he lived a life of joy. He did not preach sacrifices, bring the best animal, let's make sacrifices. No. All he said was, prepare the way. Prepare the way. And the way to prepare that way for the coming of the Lord is to get yourself into this message. Accept, open your hearts. Get rid of the old ways. We've always done it. Sometimes because you've always done it doesn't mean it is good to be done. He said, get rid of it. Those things that our ancestors were used to doing that did not please God, leave them behind and begin anew. That was John's message. And I think the same message holds true for us today. Today we still have a remnant. I will call remnant because it's the same attitude that we find today even in the church. After 2,000 years of existence since the birth of Christ, we're still holding onto the same old things that probably brought rift among the people of Israel with their Lord. How many times do we give leftovers to God? How many times do we think that it's okay for us not to even acknowledge God in our circumstances? How many times do we always feel that we are in control and God needs to follow our direction? How many times, even during this time that the world celebrates, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Christmas is here. How many times even our gifts are things that we have no use for? How many times even during this season of love, of joy and peace, do we sit and complain? In spite of all that God is doing for us, I've always said, if you don't have anything to thank God for me, because I'm always thankful when I see the next minute of my life. It's enough. Whatever else comes, I entrust it to God. How many times do we take credit for things that God has done for us? Or we attribute the credit to something else. For instance, somebody was involved in an accident. You say, if I have not been smart enough, well, there are too many smart people who have not survived. How many times do we take credits that belongs to God? Those little things do matter in our relationship with the God we so much talk about. How many times do we believe that there is a God, but we don't believe the power of this God? Because probably the God you believe is so small, is so limited. But the God that I believe, that I'm testifying to before you each Sunday because of the opportunity I have to do, is the God who is bigger than my understanding. It's the God who is able when I think there is no way. So that I don't allow circumstances to weigh me down. I had a pastor friend who said to my family, he said, Pastor Jakes, at the time I was still the student pastor and I was working with him, and he said to me, you know, Jakes, I need to just confess to you. How is it that you and your family are so happy every day? And I said, what do you mean? He said, I know you don't make much money and you have 3 kids plus your wife, 5-member family. But you guys look, you live so happily. And I said, the reason is, love the son, little is much when God is in it. So whatever you give me, we trust God for the rest of the time. And brother, I've learned to trust God even in the midst of the seemingly worst condition. Because I know the God that I serve is bigger than my problems. He's bigger than my trouble. He's bigger than anything. We need to give him credit where he deserves it. We need to give him what he deserves of us. We need to praise him. We need to worship him. We need to honor him with our life. That's the God we serve. The sign of Emmanuel, the forerunner, John came and lived into that message so that you and I can emulate that faith joining. That's what being the follower of Jesus Christ is about. It's not an emergency situation. We only pray when there's something that we need to pray about. No, prayer is part of our life. We only acknowledge God when there is a need. Well, God is not a charity program. Amen. Invite us to take a moment and reflect on the message of preparing ourselves in the context of the coming of the Emmanuel. Please take note of all of the joys and concerns, and if there are other joys and concerns you would like to share, please do so now.
I have a couple of concerns to mention. First of all, you might have noticed my wife Jane isn't here. Mm-hmm. She's had a lot of discomfort and pain for the last couple months, and fortunately we got in and got the testing and found out she has an ulcer. I don't think I caused it. But anyway, hopefully that healing process will begin and she can get over that.
Yes.
The other thing is, you might have seen in yesterday's paper, there was an elderly couple at Shorecrest Shopping Center that were hit by a slow-moving car. That was Jane's sister, Judy Madsen, and her husband, Andy Madsen. They were walking hand-in-hand from their car to the dollar store, and a slow-moving car hit them and knocked them to the ground. And fortunately, there was a couple paramedics that assisted them immediately, and they were taken to the emergency rooms. We were able to get Andy home that night. He had cuts and bruises, and not too bad. But at 90 years of age, you don't need any more cuts and bruises. And Judy, at age 87, she didn't need any more cuts and bruises. She got the worst of it. She has, in addition, maybe a fractured pelvis. So she's still at the hospital. And after the service, I have her hospital number and phone number if anybody wants to contact her. So please keep them in your prayers.
Yes. Thank you, Chuck, for sharing that.
I'd like to ask for prayers for safe travels for my husband. He's driving home from Maryland today, and this is the same truck that was hit by a big deer a few weeks ago. It's supposed to be working, and he's having some car troubles now on the way home. So just keep him in your prayers that everything, just hold the truck together till he gets home.
Please keep Ron in your prayers. He's having surgery on his shoulder tomorrow to repair two tears. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
I need prayer for my niece, my sister's daughter in Liberia. She was knocked down by a motorbike. She's in the hospital now. I need prayer for her. Amen.
We all are suffering or hurting in one way or another. I would like for you all to please keep my family in prayer. We all still grieving, and my brother's grandchildren, little Mariah and little Lewis, the little girl is 6 years old and little Lewis is 9 years old, but they were over to my mother's almost every day. Their mother was one of my mother's main caregivers, and she would run errands for my mother. But those two little kids, they're going through it right now. They're grieving, and they don't fully understand where grandmama at, and they're hurting. The little boy is acting out in school, and he's usually a pretty good kid, but he's acting out, and he's just lashing out. He don't understand this passing process. So I'm asking you to pray for them, but pray for my sister too, because she's got health issues and she's going through a deep depression, and my brother. And you know, people keep saying grief comes in waves, and I'm really understanding what they mean by that, because I heard a girl and from work and her little boy on Facebook the other day singing Silent Night. They were just singing Silent Night, practicing. And I heard that and I started thinking about my mother, and I cried the rest of the evening. So I'm just, you know, people would say there ain't nothing like a mother's love, but that is so true, because I feel like I'm trying to step into my mother's legacy, and I got a ways to go. But my mother was always humble, and always, my mother and my father always tried to help others, and I tried to do that too. But you know, sometimes I want to be able to talk to my mother, and like Peggy says, I have to speak to her in spirit now, but I'm just trying to make that adjustment. But so just keep my family in your prayer, and at the same time, let's pray for others, because there are others. I had a friend that just lost their mother the other day. So we all got our issues, and especially with Christmas coming, you know, it can spark a lot of emotions.
Yes, that's true. That's quite true. Well, thanks for sharing. I want to just encourage us that prayer requests that I brought to the congregation are not only meant for here. My encouragement would be that any one of you may be doing your private prayer time, just lift somebody's concerns and in your prayer time. God hears us wherever we are. So let's continue to remember and pray for each other. Let's pray for our congregation. We are beginning the process of trying to see if maybe five or six of us can begin to pray, honestly pray and discern what the future of our congregation is, and we encourage you to also pray for us. We are doing that. So please be a part of that. Let's
Amen.
Amen.
I just want for you guys to join me in prayer to pray for Neka. Neka, since he started school, he been in a school for 3 years. He was a very nice little boy. But right now, I receive call every day and night. Neka is getting a lot of problems. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Let's pray. Okay. Let's be together in prayer. Gracious God, you know all of these prayer concerns before they can even be uttered. And we thank you for being such a God. As your children, O Lord, we unite our voices this morning just to lift unto you that indeed we appreciate the fact that you know us by name, you know us by our condition, you know us by our circumstances. We pray for Jean. We pray for Judith and her husband. We pray for Safe Tribal. We pray for Ron's surgery. We pray for Antoinette, who is in the hospital. We pray for Laurie and her family. God, as they go through this time of mourning the loss of their dear mom and grandma, we pray for all of the other conditions that underlie what we go through daily in our lives. We pray for spiritual awakening. We pray for a closer connection with you. We pray for your guidance, your protection. We pray for your provision and are thankful for how much you are in fact providing us. We are grateful. We thank you for the opportunity to be called by your name and to worship you freely. We thank you for this season, O God. This is the season, O God, that have been amplified and have become complex in terms of understanding. It affects people in every way nowadays, in their relationship, in tribal, in economy, every aspect of life. Christmas season affects. We pray for a better understanding, the understanding to prepare ourselves in terms of giving our lives and our heart to you, so that when you return, you can say, well done. Thank you. Call us back to yourself. Thank you. We bless you. All of the rest of the things that we needed to pray for, that we could not remember, Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We surrender ourselves to you. May you attend and meet each of us at the point of those needs, because we know you are able. We bless you. We honor you and give you the glory in the name of your Son, who is able and has given us a prayer. Whenever we pray, we conclude with these words of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. May we continue on our worship this morning with our offerings and tithes for scripture tells us, it's more blessed to give than to always receive. God has been good to us. Let's serve Him with our gifts. Praise God from whom all blessings flows. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him ever, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Holy God, through the forerunner, you have promised us the coming Emmanuel to represent your kingdom in which justice and mercy will reign. Knowledge and understanding will increase. The poor and the weak would receive compassion and thank you. When little Christ Jesus gave us the vision of this kind of kingdom, we thank you for the continuous nudging of your Holy Spirit within to help us make way for your kingdom's work on earth. As we give our gifts this morning, may you take it. I thank you. Love, mercy, and grace. We pray this in the name of that Christ. Amen. We'll sing the first two stanzas of the sermon and the fifth one. can and never be. Would you raise the hostile star? Should your life attract us here? Would you let me answer prayer in you and you? The message is Jesus is coming, and that's why we celebrate Advent. It's coming. Question is, are we ready? And that's John's message. Prepare the way. Go in peace as ambassadors of this coming Lord and help prepare the way. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, the love of God, abides and remains with each of us now and always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.